This is Reuven Levy speaking from the Chut Shel Chesed Yeshiva in Yerushalayim with another one of our daily lessons in Shalom Bayit. We're learning the book Began HaShalom, written by our holy rabbi, Rav Shalom Arush. We're on page 42 in the Hebrew version. Lama Tzachaka Sarah. Why did Sarah laugh? So Rav Arush brings us now a story, very famous story from the Torah, from the book of Bereshit, in the Parsha Vayera. It says as follows. From Parsha Vayera, Mavtichin Hamalachim, L'Avraham Shetoch Shana Yeh Lo Ben Misara. We learn in the Parsha called Vayera that angels come and visit Avraham Avinu and they tell him, Baruch Hashem, you're going to have a son from your wife Sarah within the next year. What happens? Sarah shomat et ha-dvarim mitoch ha-ohel v'tzohaket. Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent to what the angels were telling her husband, and she started to laugh. She's 99 years old. She does not have a womb. She has no chance in her mind of receiving Torah, of receiving a son, of receiving having children. And so she laughs. What happens next? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mochiach et Avraham. The parasha then tells us that Hashem comes to Avraham and rebukes him and says to Avraham, Lama tzachaka Sarah? Why did your wife Sarah laugh? That's very puzzling. V'chi hilo ma'amina bi sheyesh biyichalti latet la ben afilu shei zakena. Hashem was asking Avraham, in effect, what's going on here? Your wife doesn't believe in me. She doesn't think that I'm able to give her a son, even in her old age. Right? Hashela nish elet hi, madu Hashem pone al Avraham b'ta'ana zu. Why, Rav Arush asks, does Hashem come to Avraham with this question? Why does Hashem ask Avraham, why did your wife laugh? Doesn't she have any emuna? Hawei Sarah gam hi haita nevi'ah. Sarah, his wife, was also a prophet. Even higher than Avraham in her nevuah, in her prophecy. Right? Why didn't Hashem just go direct to Sarah? Say, Sarah, what's going on? Why are you laughing? Do you don't believe in me? Why go to Avraham? Ella. However, we can see clearly here that everything which a woman does, its root is in the lacking of a husband. Right, meaning everything she does negatively. But even though we don't understand at all what level of Avraham Avinu is, so we can't actually understand what the rebuke was. Right? For sure, Avraham had a emunah in Hashem. He spoke to him on a daily basis. Right? He had the amazing nevuah. He knew Hashem in a way we can never even understand the way he knew Hashem. But according to his level, according to the level Avraham was at, he still had a defect of some nature in his emunah, and this was revealed in Sarah. Right? Sarah laughed when she heard that she was going to have a child. That showed that Sarah didn't believe that Hashem could give her a child. Yeah, Hashem's going to give you a child. Yeah, right. Yeah, I believe that. Right, meaning she didn't. She had a pagam in emunah. So what's going on? So why does Hashem come to Abraham and say, why did your wife laugh? Because the problem was with Abraham. That's where the flaw in the Emunah was. It's not, Hashem could have gone to Sarah. She was a nevuah. She was a prophetess. He could have gone to Sarah and said, Sarah, what are you doing laughing? You don't believe? Don't believe I can give you a child? He should have rebuked Sarah. If it was Sarah's problem that she had no Emunah, go to Sarah. But no. Hashem went to Abraham. He said to Abraham, why is your wife laughing? That's your problem. It's nothing to do with her. It's your problem. You have an issue here that you need to deal with.
Sarah came to
Abraham
and said,
you need to get rid of him.
Test for
Abraham? Did he say no? The test to listen to his wife, yeah, for sure. So one of his 10 tests was to kick out Abraham.
No.
To kick out Ishmael.
No.
Oh, give me that.
When they come together, Abraham and Abraham, before they have no children.
Yeah.
So Sarah came to Abraham
And told him to take Hagar.
So it was a test from Hashem, but he said no.
I don't know. I've not seen any perishim on it.
I don't know.
I've not seen any perishim on that, any commentaries. You could say that it was a test and he should have just believed that Sarah was going to bear a child and that was the right path. I don't know, but I've not seen any commentary which talks about that. It's a good question. But we look, the other thing we know though is that the wife is the mouthpiece of Hashem. Whatever's coming out of her mouth is direct from Hashem. And that's why when, in the other case, when Sarah told Abraham to take Ishmael out of the house, Hashem said, listen to your wife, right? She knows what she's talking about. So similarly too, when the wife comes along and says, you need to take the maidservant, if we're holding at the level of Abraham and Sarah and they're not kind of playing games, then he has to listen to his wife. If she's the mouthpiece of Hashem to give him instructions.
Having said that to Sarah also shows whatever Sarah tells you to do, do.
Right. Whatever she says. So even though he doesn't understand, your Rebbe tells you to do something. I understand why my Rebbe's asking me to do this. It doesn't make sense to me. But I do it. Right? The Torah says, Rashi brings on Aselach HaRav. Rashi brings under there, if your Rav tells you right is left and left is right, you have to believe him. Right? Even on something that's obvious to you, that you know you're right from your left, you still have to do it. And this, why? Because it's coming from Hashem. It's a message if it's coming from a Rav that you trust and is connected. Right? So it's coming as a message. And the same true with your wife. Even if she's telling you something that doesn't really make sense to you, well, I should check out my only son. Isn't he the one who's going to perpetuate the whole Jewish religion from now on? No, kick him out. Okay. Right, you have to do it because you know it's a message.
Let's say your wife said this, and I will ask the Rav. The Rav said, what do you do now?
There's a difference between what we do and what they did. Right, when we're talking Abraham and Sarah, we're talking about Nevuah from Shemayim, messages. When we're talking in our life, my wife comes home and says, you know what? I think you need to quit your job today. I'm wrong to think, oh, it's a message from Hashem, let's go and do it. No, we're not at that level. We're not holding at this level. If we were, if I was the Gadol Hador and my wife was Rebbitzin of the door, then she said, come into my office and says to me, my husband, I've been thinking about it, and it's really important that right now you need to, seclude yourself away for a year and not speak to anyone. And it's like, tough, okay. I know it's a message from Shemayim, but if my wife's just having a bad day and she comes in and says, you know what? You need to buy a new car. That car is just a waste of space. It keeps stopping all the time. Whatever. I'm not going to say, you know what, you're right. Let's go do it. Hold on a minute. This is the perfect. The wife is the message from Hashem and it's a clear picture when everything's good. Otherwise, the wife is a message from Hashem for sure, but then I need to work out what's going on. I need to sit down and do his body dirt. I need to think, what is Hashem trying to tell me? We saw in the chapter about being a mirror, there's about 5 different ways of understanding the mirror. I have to sit down, I have to ask Hashem for clarity. What exactly are you trying to show me here? Is it my bad midot, or do I need to do something else? What's the message? When I've got the message, then fine, 100%, I should go with it. I should know it's from Hashem. This is what he wants me to do. If I have clarity, I have yishuvdat. But for sure, Abraham had yishuvdat. He had clarity. He understood that this was a clear message. But we have that. We have times where we know this is what I need to do.
So you cannot everything believe what the women say?
No, we can't believe everything our wives say. But what we can do is we can listen to whatever our wives say. We know there's a message in whatever our wives say. And sometimes the message is very clear. Your wife says, now you need to go to the store and buy some eggs. Yofi, that's very clear. And I'm not arguing with that. And it's good. And I'm gonna believe her word for word. And other times she's gonna say, I don't know what is with you. I mean, just get out of here, leave me alone, I'm not interested. And the job then is not to get out of here, leave me alone, I'm not interested in you. The job here is to know she's really upset, she wants me to sit with her and give her my attention and say, I'm not leaving until I make you happy, my wife, or whatever, and argue against her. That's the opposite. Because she doesn't want me to clear off and get out of the house now. What she wants me to do right now is to give her time and attention and love and respect, because she needs it. So sometimes it's the opposite, but I need to have the sechel to them.
Rabbis, they say, when you push the time, you learn to do it too. Now you learn it's just. Come back, nice and cool.
Nachon, Tofek HaTashah.
Abraham, Sarah.
Yeah.
So they pushed the time.
Did they? When?
So when they finished when?
When did they, when, Tof, maybe, maybe. I'm not saying no, I don't know. I've not seen a Peirush that said something. It sounds good. Could be.
So
the person who pushes the hour pushes you.
Let's say your wife pushes
but we're saying that we know what we're talking about. We don't know what we're talking about. We don't know if he was dofek at hasha'ah there and it was the right thing or the wrong thing. I'll say we can't learn from that.
Let's say the situation is a carbon day pushing.
Yeah.
So now the time is over. Now she'd say, well, we need children, it's a mitzvah. So now she'd say, oh, there's an option to go to Pua.
But
there is a place you can go to, Europe and so on and so forth.
That's not good.
Because the rabbi said, what rabbi said, you're crazy, you have to go.
Look, you're for sure, and it's not really on topic, but I want to tell you this story because you made me think about it now, about this same idea about dofeka tasha'ah, to force God. It's not good to force God's hand, right? So again, sorry for the listeners, but it's a great story. It's not a happy story, but it's a very important story. So when I was in Machon Meir, learning there, I heard from my Rav, told me this story, Rav David Sperling, wonderful Rav, anyone who gets to learn with him. There was a couple who didn't have children for a long, long time, 10, 15 years, I don't know how long exactly it was. And they were trying all sorts of sugulot, all sorts of this and that. Anyway, they were connected to the yeshiva. I don't know if he was studying there or he was very connected to the yeshiva. Some of the rabbis in the yeshiva knew him well, felt very sorry. He was a mamash, he was a Talmid Chacham, he was a Erlich Hayid, he was a good, really good neshama, and they felt really sorry for him. And Mamash felt sorry. They wanted to do what they could to help him. So what did they do? So one of the rabbis, unfortunately, like, we all have a Yetzirah, right? But just when you're at a higher level, your Yetzirah is just more clever. So what did the Yetzirah tell him? Yetzirah told him, you know what? Came up with a great idea. We're going to convene a Beit Din. I'm going to get three rabbis together. We're going to convene a Beit Din, and we're going to decree that you're going to have a child this year. And Hashem has to follow the law of the Beit Din. What happens down here? Rabba Shamayim, they'll follow the rules of the Beit Din. We're going to decree that you're going to have a child this year. So they did. They formed the Beit Din. They decreed that this Avrech was going to have a child that year. That year he had a child. He had a child that year. On the day his child was born, his wife's father passed away on that same day. Neshama for a neshama. A neshama for a neshama, right? You dofek et hasha'ah, you can do it, but there's a consequence, right? You can do it, there's a consequence. Hashem knows when the time is right. Shemini from Tanzo. I have to say, I'm not saying any names, but there is an organization which helps Jewish women get pregnant. There's different organizations, I don't want to name which one it is, but one of them, I read an article written by, I guess, a spokesperson for the organization. Anyway, they were writing different case studies of women who'd been, and this woman couldn't get pregnant, and then she had in vitro fertilization, and this one came and we gave her a course of drugs, and this one came and we did this, and each one was telling their story. Anyway, one woman told her story, and it was an article in a front magazine, and I was like, I speechless when I read this from a front organization, a front magazine. It was a quote from the woman. I mean, I don't care, it might not be their view, but they wrote it in their promo piece. In their promotional literature, this is what they wrote. A quote from the woman who successfully had children. What did she write? She had this quote, and it was a headline quote in big bolds on the thing. It said, "Hashem said no, but we said yes." I don't even know what to say about that. It's completely twisted. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? We're talking about the mirror. The reason why Hashem went to Abraham and not to his wife was because the flaw wasn't with his wife, it was just being revealed in his wife. And it's a message for all of us, right? The clear in the Torah is teaching us this important rule. Even if your wife is as holy as Sarah Imenu, and even if you yourself, the Baal, are as holy as Avraham Avinu, it still applies to you. This is the way Hashem made the creation. The wife reflects the husband. Any pagam in her, any defect, failure in her, is a failure in me. That's where I should be looking for the problem. Yofi. Anyway, okay. Next page. Shemach v'yorech, the sun and the moon. Al pi haKabbalah, yeshno klal be'etzem abriyah. Through the understanding of Kabbalah, we have a rule which is in the foundation of the creation. Shazacha hu hamashpia v'anakeva hi hamakabelet. The man is the mashpia, the one who influences, the one who gives. And the woman is the one who receives. Right? Male and female, it's in all of creation, it's in physiology, anatomy, it's an inbuilt part, the male and the female side. One gives, the other receives. K'mor shemesh v'yarech, just like the sun and the moon. Habal hu ha-shemesh v'aisha hi ha-levana. The husband is the sun, and the wife is the moon. U'k'mor sha-levana ein la-or me'atzma. Just like the moon has no light of her own. The moon gives off no light. How come the moon shines in the night? When I look up at the moon and it's shining brightly, it's because the sun is shining on it. There's no glow. There's nothing in the moon that makes it glow. Not like the sun. The sun has its own light, generates its own light from inside of itself. However it does that, Hashem's creation, don't know. But the moon doesn't do that. The moon is a piece of rock, right? The only light that the moon gives off is whatever the sun is shining on it. Kach ha'isha ein la me'atzma klum. So too, a woman has nothing at all of herself in terms of light. Rak ma she'mekabelet mibala. Only that which she receives from her husband. Right? It's a very difficult thing for us to grasp, but wait a minute. My wife's fine without me. She's better off without me. Right? But spiritually speaking, that's not what's going on at all. Yes. She doesn't notice. She has no. She has no clue what's going on. She doesn't notice that the light you're shining light or not. Her neshama might notice for sure. Her life force is diminished if we're not shining properly. Mimela kol davar shechaseba. Therefore, anything which is lacking in her. Therefore, anything that's lacking in her is lacking in her husband. Because I'm not shining on her the correct light. What does it mean that I'm not shining on her the correct light? We said that the wife is a mirror. She reflects my bad midot. What's really happening, we're learning underneath, a bit deeper down, is that it's not that she's simply reflecting my bad midot. I get angry and she has some sort of anger reflecting capability, or she has some arrogance reflecting capability. Oh, right? Doesn't exist. What exists is I need to give off light. The light I give reaches her neshama and gives her her life. If the light I'm giving is deficient, if there's no, right, if light is made up of a spectrum of colors, we know that white light is made up actually of a spectrum of colors. If you get a refractor, what are they things called? Prism, that's the word. A prism, and you put white light through, you get all the colors of the rainbow. Yofi. If instead of shining all seven colors of the rainbow, it's always seven, all seven colors of the rainbow into my wife, I'm actually sending her 3.5. 5.5, 2.5, whatever I'm sending her, right? She's not receiving the full charge. So whatever she's missing then comes out as, I'm angry. Why is she angry? She has no clue why she's angry. But the truth is, the reason why she's angry is because my angry gene is faulty and I'm not giving off the light that of corrected, perfected midot of anger. Instead, I'm giving faulty anger genes, a faulty anger light, and she's getting this light that's deficient. Or she's not getting it, or whatever, right? She only gets what's coming off me. And that's why she's angry. Because her neshama doesn't have the light it needs to deal with whatever situation she's struggling with. Whereas if I'm giving her 100% white light, she deals with everything. Everything's fine, she's happy, she's wonderful, everything's good. Because she's collecting all that light she needs for her soul, and the Shama's perfectly happy. And the same too is why she gets sick, why she gets ill. Because again, I'm not shining on her. If I shine on her 100% full light, she's never going to get sick, never going to get ill, because her neshama's alive, a light, full of everything it needs. It's giving her body whatever it needs. It's giving her neshama, her mind, whatever. It's giving everything. But it's just the mechanism, he's just explaining the mechanism for how Hashem is showing us. A little bit behind, you're just getting under the cover of the bonnet and seeing how it works. Results are the same, but she reflects what's my lackings. Ki kamoshe ka'asher halavana hashucha enzo shmata. And just like the moon, when it's dark, when the moon is dark, ein zo ashmata, it's not the moon's fault. It's not the fault of the moon. The moon's not guilty of doing something wrong when it's dark. Ela hashemesh hi she'ina mirama. It's simply that the sun wasn't shining on it. Right? It's the sun. It's not nothing to do with the moon. Can't argue against the moon. You can't claim against the moon because you're dark. Why are you dark? You're not shining. No, look at the sun. The sun's not shining on you. That's why. It's nothing to do with you. It's not her. It's not the moon's fault. It's a mashal.
But it's when don't we see the moon?
When?
There's no light shining.
Nachon.
It's not such a mashal.
All right.
The woman is completely black and in the dark when her husband's getting
her nothing. Nachon. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen at the end of days, the Gemara tells us? The light of the sun is going to be like the light of the moon. Right? They're going to regain their equal standing. Why are they like this in the first place? Because when in the creation, they were both created the same. The sun and the moon were created the same. And the moon said, you can't have two chiefs that are ruling. And Hashem said, you know what, you're right. You can be small, man and woman, right? In the end of days, both are going to be shining, right? We see it now. We see now that the woman, I mean, although this is still true, we see that, that the woman is at the place of the woman, the role of the woman is now becoming, it used to be that a woman was kind of mamash, very low key in society. They didn't have a vote. They were treated very, and now women are, just secularly, it's a part of this idea that the light of the moon is becoming like the light of the sun.
They take the role from the men mostly, because the men don't give the light.
The men are also failing, but what happens in the secular world and in the physical world is just a reflection of the spiritual world. So we see that just as the woman in the physical world, in the material world, is becoming more equal, whatever that means, not even for a good thing, right? But the truth is, she's still just a reflection, right? It doesn't work, but that influence, that reality that is being created out there in the physical world is only a reflection of the spiritual world. The spiritual world that says that the woman is gonna, that the moon is gonna become the light, like the light of the sun. It's gonna happen. It's not there yet, it's not true, but it's just an interesting example of how that works in the real world, in the false world, the other world. Job. Okay. We don't blame the moon.
Yeah. I was thinking about the moon is not always shining. Let's say for sure. And today the Hashem make in the Shura. So it means when the sun gives light.
Look, we know that the moon is also a representation of Am Yisrael. Hashem is the sun, and Am Yisrael is the moon. That's also one of the two similarities, right? Why? Because also Am Yisrael, we only get whatever light we have from Hashem, right? We're nothing. We're just a vessel that takes Hashem's light. So Am Yisrael is also like the moon, and Hashem is the sun, right? And that's what it means, that one of the meanings anyway, that we're a light to the nations. We're not a light. Can't do anything. I'm not light. I can't light up anything. What am I? When I'm doing my job, I'm reflecting Hashem's light, right? By doing the commandments, keeping the mitzvah, I reflect, people see in me Hashem. People see, wow, there's a God. There is, look at these holy people, right? In Uman, Rosh Hashanah, 50,000 Jews acting like Jews should act, and it's like amazing, it's like Geula, right? The Goyim are looking at us like, what's going on? Three Goyim can't get together without getting drunk and starting a fight. And here's 50,000 men, all acting like angels, relatively speaking. It's a big Kiddush Hashem, right? We're reflecting the light of Hashem. The Goyim see there's a God, Bezrat Hashem, right? That's what we're reflecting. What's going to happen? So where in, you might have Shia, again, the light of the moon is going to be like the light of the sun. We're actually going to do our job properly. We're going to be a light unto the nations. And we're going to reflect properly, completely, all of Hashem's light. Right? People will see Am Yisrael, and they'll see Hashem, and they'll come flocking. Because we're doing that reflection. Yeah, fair. Okay. Kacha isha sheyesh ba pagam o chisaron, ein hi hashma. So too with a woman. Whenever she has a fault or a failure, it's not her fault either. Ella habal she'adai loti kenet asmo. Simply, her husband has not fixed himself. Einot ma'irba, and he's not shining the light on her correctly. Umeyachach v'hazachah hu mashbeah. And since the husband is the one who is meant to be giving, he's the one who influences to give. Lachen tzarech tamid lechabed et yisro. That's why a husband needs constantly to give to his wife. Latet lechom ahava simcha bitachon o emunah. To give to her warmth, love, happiness, security, light, trust, emunah. That's our job, is to give all of that to our wife. She's the recipient, we are the giver. Achabal sheba lebeitor almanat lekabel kavod, havanat sumat lev chulei, harei nafal bechinat nekiva. But a husband who doesn't do that, who comes home looking to receive from his wife, he's got it backwards. He then becomes the woman. Right? There needs to be a man in that marriage and a woman. There can't be two women. Two women can't live in the same house. They'll scratch each other's eyes out. Right? It doesn't work. If I act like a woman, my wife is gonna, she can't deal with that. She needs to have a man. What does it mean to act like a woman? Not in a derogatory sense, it means in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense. It means to be needy. I need some attention now. I need some warmth and I need some love. Yofi, it's true. Like, no one's asking us to be like someone who doesn't need any love. For sure we need love all the time. But we get love back only as a result. We give, just like the sun gives to the moon, and then the light reflects back, right? If I'm shining my light properly, it reflects back. The wife then reflects back all that goodness. As we said, if I'm giving from a genuine point of view, not just giving from my own selfish point of view, she's reflecting correctly really what I'm giving. So if I'm giving genuinely, it's all coming back to me. But I can't go and ask for it. The sun doesn't go to the moon and say, you shine your light on me first, and then I'm going to give to you. It doesn't work that way. There's nothing to give. I haven't got anything. I'd love to give you, but I've got nothing to give you. She's going to give you a mouthful. Because you haven't given her anything to reflect back. Only after I've filled up the batteries, recharged the juice, she can then reflect that back. Otherwise, she's running on empty because I haven't been spoken to her for the last 3 weeks. And I have batteries like this much. And what, you want me to give you all I've got left? I've got like this much that I'm holding on, right? And I need that to get through the next 24 hours. And you want me to give it to you? Forget it. No. We shine, we give, and then, amazing of amazing, it all reflects back. It all comes back. And she's a magnifying glass, so it comes back even better, stronger. It's not like the light of the moon, right? It actually reflects back more. Right? So we get that, but only when we don't ask for it, because when our job is to give, to be like Hashem, Bezat Hashem, He should strengthen us, because it's not easy. Mamash, it's not easy to just give and give. Right, we have to admit we're at a sorry sore level where we come back and we want to receive. Like, I've had a hard day, or even if I haven't had a hard day, I'm selfish. What can I do? It's a bad leader I'm still working on. I want some attention. I want something for myself. I'm selfish.
Yeah.
Right.
Same way that a woman has to be recharged
from her. Right. We're recharged from Hashem. We're the moon that gets its light from Hashem. So we recharge our batteries too. So how we recharge our batteries? So right, we should recharge our batteries by the good stuff, the pure holiness, which is davening, tefillah, Torah, right, mitzvot. That really recharges our batteries if we're doing it with love and with effort and enthusiasm, right? But and then we've got what to give. But if we don't, and if we try and recharge our batteries from a poor power source, right, which is an instantaneous power source like coffee, chocolate cake, ta'avot, right, that gives you a shot of adrenaline, and then you're gone. So yeah, it has reality, it has something in it, but it doesn't last. So Bezrat Hashem, we should, if we get from the true power source, we're going to be charged up, and then we're going to give to our wives.
Amen. Amen.